Chapter 18.
You have been granted the title of the Cold and Dark. Using this title will give you access to the elemental magic lines of ice and earth. Would you like to use this title?
That message was the first thing I saw when I woke up outside where I'd first found the hidden entrance to the dungeon challenge. My aunts were all standing guard around me, even the three that had ventured through the portal with me. My head ached, and as I reached up to touch my forehead, I realized it felt different, colder and harder somehow. Still, I wasn't dead, which was good, so I pulled myself into a sitting position, and since we weren't being attacked, I turned my attention back to the message. I'd had lots of titles when I'd played Terraforma, and most of them had granted special powers. Hell, some of them could even be leveled up to increase their strength. I smiled brightly and accepted the title. Instantly, a harsh sapphire light flared around me before fading into my body. And as it did, I saw another pair of messages.
You have been granted the power, elemental power, ice. You will now be able to infuse your magic with ice. You have been granted increased resistance to cold. Your body will be able to resist the power of ice magic. You have been granted the power, elemental power, earth. You will now be able to infuse your magic with the power of earth. You have been granted increased resistance to earth. Your body will be able to resist the power of earth magic.
There didn't seem to be any specific skills associated with either of those powers. And if it worked like how it did in Terraforma, I wouldn't be able to learn traditional spells since I, personally, didn't actually have either mastery. Instead, I'd have to weave together my own spells, and they might or might not work. Fortunately, I'd had both ice and earth titles before, and while they had all been a little different in terms of strength and limitations, I was sure I could make it work. Satisfied, I turned my attention to the flashing exclamation point in the upper corner of my vision, and when I opened it, a golden glow momentarily flared around my body, and another message appeared in front of me.
You have completed a dungeon challenge. All your stats have been increased by 5. The strength of your skills has been increased by 2. Pattern. Stone Golem has been learned. Would you like to create a stone golem? Pattern. Ice Spider has been learned. Would you like to create an ice spider? Bonus. You have completed your first dungeon challenge. You have gained an additional 6 stat points to distribute.
I blinked in astonishment. Not only had I gotten the title from the dungeon and learned a new skill along the way, but I'd gotten a pretty sweet reward in terms of stats and skills. Admittedly, I'd been annoyed about not being able to extract either the stone golems or the ice spider's patterns, but evidently, the challenge had just been saving them until I was done. Wasting no time, I distributed my points, dumping 4 into strength and 2 into agility before I summoned both of my new creatures, and a few moments later, Rocky and Widow were born. Rocky, the stone golem, looked like one would expect, a bunch of brown-green rocks roughly stacked on top of each other to look like a giant man about the size of a small mountain, and had glowing emerald eyes. Still, it was his abilities that intrigued me more than his appearance, since we had something called stance swap. Apparently, the golem could exist in one of 3 stances: defensive, offensive, and neutral. And depending on which stance he was in, his stats changed accordingly. Defensive allocated everything to defense, offensive to, well, offense, and neutral split them down the middle. That meant we could probably function well in battles when something crazy happened, since he could stance swap to deal with it. Widow, the ice spider, on the other hand, looked like a green version of the massive ice spider I'd fought earlier, which came as no surprise. She didn't have a very high offense or defense either, aside from when it came to ice-type attacks, and I was about to write her off as not very useful when I spied an interesting ability called Ice Web. Not only could it bind a target to the ground for a few seconds, but it also had a chance to add a slow effect to the target. Now that could be useful. Satisfied with my two new acquisitions, I waited a few more moments until my aura had regenerated. Then I began to make my way through the rest of the colony. I wasn't quite sure how long it took for us to make our way to the boss room, because the trek was an endless series of ant battles, and I made sure I wiped out each and every ant along the way to maximize my experience. To be honest, as my army grew and I summoned more soldiers, golems, and spiders, I didn't have much time to think about what we were doing, because I was too busy playing commander. I sort of shifted my focus from directly engaging in combat to micromanaging my army to make sure they took down the enemies with maximum efficiency. Better still, as we moved down into the depths of the colony, waves upon waves of delicious experience encased in ant-coated shells swept into me, so that by the time I reached the boss room, I was nearly level 20 and had almost 40 minions at my command. "Well," I said as I looked back at my army, "this is it." I nodded toward the giant doorway in front of me. Even without the overlay indicating the boss in the room ahead with a giant skull, I would have known the creature was within. I could feel the boss's power emanating from the dark cavern in a way I'd never been able to in the game. It rippled along my skin, and while I should have been scared, I just wasn't. Because this power was a pale shadow compared to what I'd experienced from Mob. Still, I hadn't fought Mob, and I'd be fighting the boss inside, and I had no idea what level she would be. For all I knew, she was level 40, but I somehow doubted it. I had killed every last ant I could find and did a couple more sweeps to root out any hidden rooms both inside and outside the colony. And thanks to Scout's ability, we'd found a few more groups of ants outside. That meant unless I was supposed to be a higher level than I had been when I'd come in, I should be powerful enough to fight the boss. That said, I knew this wasn't Terraforma and didn't have to follow any specific rules, and because of that, I was determined to do this correctly. I took a deep breath and centered myself as my aura finally regenerated back to full. I now had 3 sentinels and 2 stone golems, all of which could act as tanks. That made my plan relatively simple. "Okay, guys," I said, looking at the sentinels. "Hank and Pim, you two are on the boss. I want Hank to pull its attention, and when your health drops to around half, swap to Pim." I turned my attention to the 3rd sentinel. "Goliath, if there are any monsters in there with the boss, I want you to get them on you." They twitched their antennae in response, clearly understanding. So I looked to my 2 golems. Rocky and Balboa. "Rocky, you will assist Goliath. If he gets half health, I want you to take his place." The big golem nodded once, and there was a glimmer of understanding in his pebble eyes while Balboa shuffled in a way that clearly said, "What about me, boss?" "Balboa, I want you to switch to your offensive stance and focus on taking down any ants in the room. That's your only priority unless one of the other tanks goes down.
then stance switch and step in. Understand? Instead of responding with words, the golem's entire body rippled with energy as his skin changed color. Before, his rocky exterior had been brown, but now it appeared red, which meant he was in his offensive stance. While it had happened quickly since we were out of combat, I knew from experience that an active combat stance switch would take a long time. Still, couldn't ignore the fact that having his brute strength on my side would be positive, and after all, I had other tanking units. Satisfied, I turned to the spider squad. A group of six spiders led by Widow stood clustered in the corner. Okay, guys, your job is simple. Focus on reducing the boss's mobility. I don't want you to do anything else. Even if it seems like the boss is stuck and you could assist, don't. The last thing I want is for one of you guys to go down because you got too close to an area of effect attack or for the boss to move and make it so that we have to chase it around. After that, I split the remaining ants into two groups. I put all the high levels on the boss to focus it down while the rest were set to work on any other minions in the room. If there weren't any minions, or they finished them before the boss went down, they could just go to the boss after all. And before you ask, yeah, I'm pretty sure there's going to be minions, because my gut tells me that through that cavern is the Ant Queen. I held my hands up in surrender. I know, it's a terrible guess, but you have to trust me on this. That was also why I was so concerned about mobility, that I'd keep all six spiders on her. In Terraforma, Ant Queens had a nasty habit of flying all over and raining down death from above, and I wanted to avoid that if possible. So, anyone have any objections? When none of the ants, spiders, or golems said anything, I continued. No? Okay, good. Let's do this. I gripped my mandibles in each hand and took a deep breath before making my way down the dark cavern ahead. As I moved forward, the tunnel seemed to grow taller and wider, expanding outward so that by the time I'd gone about 100 yards, it was almost twice as large. There was also more glowing moss. Its light threw shadows across the ground as I moved, which made the fact that there was no sound other than my footsteps in the dirt even eerier than it should have been. I put it out of my mind and made my way forward. After all, it wasn't like there was music in the background, and I'd killed pretty much every living creature in the colony. What was there to make sound? A few minutes later, we finally reached the chamber, and sure enough, I could see the boss within. She was at the far end of an immense cavern almost 300 feet across and was shrouded in shadow, so I couldn't make out much detail. But I knew it was her, because a ridiculously powerful aura seemed to drift off of her in a hazy fog of death and despair. Between her and us were scores of ants, so many that it seemed like nearly all the space of the cavern was filled with minders, soldiers, and sentinels. Not good odds, but at the same time, the boss hadn't engaged us the second we had walked in, so we had that going for us, which was nice. I wonder if we can start dragging monsters back and weed them out that way. I wasn't sure, but I assumed it was worth a try because my army didn't feel quite big enough anymore. I'd expected a few dozen ants max, but this was insane. Taking a deep breath, I moved to step back into the tunnel, but as I did, the queen turned and looked right at me with two ruby-red, multifaceted eyes. I felt her gaze travel over me in an instant, and then before I could even breathe,
She sauntered forward, all swishing hips and lithe movements. My eyes widened in shock at the sight of her, because she looked nothing like the vast majority of ant queens I'd faced in the game. Usually, they were a giant ant of some kind, or in the case of the Black Tower boss, were more like an ant-based centaur, where its lower half was that of an ant and the top half that of a woman. This boss, though, looked like a lady in more ways than one, and reminded me of the insect goddess Darmaia I'd encountered during the Sea of Misery event. She stood about 5.5 feet tall and was naked as the day is long. Her polished black chitin skin shone in the light of the luminescent moss, and snow-white hair fell from her scalp. In fact, if I could ignore the unnatural sheen of her skin, the only thing that even made her look like a bug were the two large multi-hued dragonfly wings spouting from her back, the cute, twitching antennae that sprang from her forehead, and those eyes, of course. Otherwise, she looked so humanoid, I'd have almost just thought it was a costume.
"Hello, hero,"
she said in a voice that reminded me of an especially bubbly cheerleader.
"To what do I owe the pleasure?"
She raised one slender arm toward me and beckoned me forward.
"Do you wish to mate with me?"
Her hand swept out across all the ants.
"Because I'm willing to bet that we could make an endless amount of children."
"Is that an actual offer?" I asked, and my question was met by an amused titter.
"It could most definitely be."
Her lips turned into a heated smile as she strode through the army of ants, and I watched as they parted for her.
"But I don't think we're quite compatible that way."
She put a taloned finger to her lips.
"I suspect we just fuck and fuck and fuck. And then there would be no babies."
She pouted.
"And I need babies, hero. I need them so very much."
"I'm honestly not sure where you're going with this," I said as she finally reached me, and I could feel the heat wafting off her. "Are we gonna fuck or fight?" She smirked then.
"I am not sure."
She leaned in then, so close that I could smell her, like sex, sin, and cinnamon all mixed together.
"Which would you prefer?"
The question hit my skin like a hot, needy breath and made a shiver of nearly uncontrollable desire run through me.
"Well?"
I'll be honest, I almost didn't see it. And even more honestly, I suspected that she was more surprised than I was when I caught her by the wrist as she tried to drive a dagger through my chest. She was doubly surprised when I used her own momentum to rip the weapon from her hand and drive it into her heart, or where her heart would have been if she'd been human, anyway. "The Lannisters send their regards," I said as her eyes went wide open in shock, and I leaned in and smiled at her. Then, as she staggered backward a half a step, bloody ichor pouring from the wound, I gave the hilt of that dagger an aura-infused kick that sent the blade punching out her back in a spray of blood and chitin shards. As her lifeless body hit the ground in a heap and all hell broke loose, I spun on my heel and ran back down the tunnel with an army of pissed-off children ants after me. "Tanks, hold them here," I said, after I'd made it to a narrow enough portion of the cave that we could force them to come at us in manageable numbers. "Yay for bottlenecks. I won't say the battle was easy, because it wasn't. In fact, it was anything but, because we had to beat our way through scores of ants with almost no time to rest. My aura was taking a serious hit from it all, even with my extraction ability. Still, we prevailed, because, well, my tactics were better than theirs. My spiders kept their sentinels and minders pinned down while we drew the soldiers into a cone of death that ripped them to pieces. I almost didn't believe it when it was done. My clothes were stained and grimy with ant ichor, and my body felt like it weighed 1,000,000 pounds. I was hungry and thirsty and 1,000,000 other things. But most of all, I was excited. Because when I saw all the messages that flashed across my vision when the last ant died, I almost let out a whoop of joy.
You have killed a dungeon boss and completed the dungeon. The return gate has now been opened. You may leave at any time.
Finally, I murmured, almost in awe. It felt like I'd been down here forever, and I was ready to get back to my planet. Still, first things first. I had gotten 3 levels, most of which was probably from the boss, since the ants had all long since turned gray in color to me, indicating they weren't worth much experience anymore, and I needed to add those points. I did it quickly, dropping another 6 points into both strength and agility, and 3 into fortitude and intelligence. That done, I distributed skill points to Aura Infusion, Auric Extraction, and Auric Sense. Satisfied, I sent the ants to harvesting. But as I started to make my way to the chamber, 1 and 2, the sentry ants I'd first created, came over to me and knelt down in front of me. "What's going on, guys?" I asked. And this time, instead of their normal twitch of antennae, I heard something in the back of my mind. It was distant, like a cry from the other end of a long tunnel, but it was there. The word, help. Both curious and concerned, I flipped open their status pages, and when I did, I saw that they had both reached level 15 and hadn't accumulated even 1 more point of experience. Both were exactly level 15. Curiously, the level bar was flashing, and when I selected it, my eyes opened in shock because I saw a prompt I'd never seen before.
Creature 1, giant sentry ant, has reached maximum level and can no longer gain experience. He can now be upgraded to elite giant sentry ant. Please note, doing so will reset him to level 1. Would you like to upgrade 1, giant sentry ant?
Yes, I said. And as I spoke, golden light enveloped 1. As it faded, I realized that while his level had in fact been reset to level 1, all the stats he had gained from leveling remained. But his level-based bonuses had returned to that of a level 1 creature. Worse, it looked like he also required twice the experience he'd needed to go from level 14 to 15 to go from level 1 to level 2. Still, I knew that once he leveled up some more, he'd be demonstrably more powerful than he'd been before. Satisfied I'd made the right choice, I upgraded 2 as well, and once that was done, I made my way back into the Queen's chamber. Her body still lay where it had fallen, though a pool of greenish ichor had spread out around it. I was glad she was dead and that it had been relatively easy. I wasn't sure what would have happened if she hadn't gotten close all on her own, because I'd have to fight my way through all those ants while she did whatever she wanted from behind them. "Come to Papa," I said, and used auric extraction on her corpse.
Pattern. Giant Ant Queen has been learned. Would you like to create a giant ant queen? Please note, this is a special monster, and only 1 can be summoned at any given time. If you would like to summon more,
You must defeat Mor.
It probably went without saying, but I most certainly did want to summon one. And even though it took my entire aura bar to do it, I soon was summoning 1/4 from the void.
Hello, Master,
my new queen said as she sprang into being.
How can I be of service?
She dropped into a deep curtsy in front of me.
Your every wish is my command.
You can talk? I asked in shock.
Yes, Master.
She nodded once.
I am a queen, and thus have the ability to communicate on behalf of my subjects, should I be fortunate enough to be allowed some.
She looked up at me.
Tell me, Master, what can I do to better suit you?
Help me find any secrets in this room.
Your will be done,
she said as she rose to her full height. And though she had that same green shade to her that my other summoned creatures did, I couldn't help but think that it somehow made her prettier than she had been in life. I watched her take a few purposeful steps away from me before she turned suddenly and bowed her head.
Master, I have a request.
What? I asked, curious where this would go.
I wish for you to grant me the usage of a scout ant. As a queen, I can use its powers as my own, but to greater effect. It will aid me in your task.
She paused.
Unless you do not wish for me to have such aid, at which point I will gladly search this chamber until you no longer wish it done.
She met my eyes, and the crazy thing was that I believed her. Yeah, that's fine, I said, and with a mental command, brought Scout into the room. He's all yours. I scratched the ant behind the antenna before kneeling in front of him. Be a good boy, Scout, and do as Queenie says. His head bobbed once before he made his way over to the Queen, and together, the two of them set to searching the room. I, on the other hand, moved toward the dead queen's body and carefully removed the dagger she'd used. Then, I used my overdrive ability on it, but unfortunately, my sense skill wasn't high enough to discover more than the weapon's name. Dagger of the Ant Queen. Too bad, I mumbled as I shoved it into my inventory, and then began my own search of the area.